Wedgwood West are featured now in Saturday Night Theatre. Emlyn Williams' version of a play by René Fauchoir is now well known on the English stage as The Late Christopher Bean. Set in a quiet backwater of Cheshire in the early 1930s, the comedy has been freely adapted for radio by Trevor Hill. The Late Christopher Bean.
Dr. Haggett, ringing at your own front door? You don't do that normal-like.
Normally, I do not leave the house without my keys, Gwynnie. Oh.
Well, I got your breakfast almost ready, Doctor. Give me a coat now.
Thank you, Gwynnie.
And did everything turn out all right?
It did. A boy, 8 pounds, 3 ounces.
Well, dear me, isn't that a grand thing? Oh, but you being out all this time on an empty stomach and me standing talking. Mrs. Haggett and Susan are just finishing breakfast. I'll bring you us right away, Doctor.
Yes. Please do, Gwynnie.
Arthur, my dear.
Morning, Daddy, darling.
Morning.
Come and sit down. Now, here's your beloved Chester Chronicle. Oh, and a telegram. That arrived about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, not bad news, I hope, Susan. Which reminds me, Gwenny seems to be making quite an effort for the last day, doesn't she?
Well, it's only natural, my dear. After all, it's going to be like losing one of the family.
Well, I never. Well,
surely you realize that, Arthur.
I mean the telegram. Just listen to this. An admirer of the late Christopher Bean will do himself the honor of calling on you on Thursday at 12 noon. Signed, Maxwell Davenport.
Well, the boy who painted all those pictures, Arthur.
You mean he thought they were pictures when he wasn't too drunk to think? But who's Maxwell Davenport? I don't know if he expects me to know him, but I certainly don't.
Oh, today of all days. 12 noon, did you say? What will he think when he sees those stepladders and things in the hall? That young decorator. He promised faithfully to be here first thing this morning.
We'll all lend a hand, my dear. Where's Ada, Susan?
In bed with a headache, poor dear. It's the smell of paint.
Really, Arthur, when I think of the work that's facing us in this house today.
Here you are for you, Dr. Haggett.
And Gwenny leaving us this very afternoon.
If you got no objection, like Mrs. Haggett, please, I would prefer for you not to speak about me leaving. Your porridge, Doctor.
You are leaving, aren't you?
Yes, I am leaving. But you know that I don't want to be leaving, and I wouldn't be leaving neither. Only it is the will of God.
First time I heard of the will of God sending a woman from a nice Cheshire village to live in Manchester.
Was it not his will to make my poor brother Idwell's wife poorly then die? And her leaving him with 4 little children and no woman in the house.
Yes, well, we're deeply sorry to see you go, but I suggest we save all our tears till the time comes for you to catch your train. By the way, what train are you catching?
The 5 o'clock to Chester, then just one change.
We really shall miss you, Gwenny.
And what about me, Miss Susan? 15 years I've been here. 15 years, mark you.
Don't harp on it, Gwenny, not today.
I don't want to harp on it, neither. And I'll thank Miss Susan to close the door behind me, I'm sure.
Poor Gwenny. We'll never get another like her.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Are you suggesting that I should do without any help?
Oh, I don't see why not. 3 women in the house. Pass the toast, Susan.
Oh, yes.
I'll even undertake to make my own bed.
That's marmalade, Daddy. You want butter first.
I'm not hungry, really.
Anyway, what would people say in church on Sunday?
Well, what would they say?
I know only too well that Dr. Haggett's practice had fallen into such straits that he couldn't afford to keep anyone to help in the house.
You look after your house, Hannah, and I'll look after my practice.
Susan, my dear.
Yes, Mother.
You'd better go and see how Ada and her headache are getting along, whilst I have words with your father.
Very well, Mother.
As regards your wish that I should look after the house, Arthur, how long did I have to keep on at you to get your surgery painted and papered? And that dreadful hall, too? Well, it's Very first thing the patients see.
It isn't a hall. It's a passage.
It is a hall.
If you can find some way of making patients pay the bills they owe me...
If people won't pay you, then don't attend them. It's perfectly simple.
Perhaps the day will come when the state will provide. But until then, it's the ones who can afford to pay and don't who make things difficult.
Smoke, if you wish to, Arthur.
That is my intention. Of course, if another girl would come for the same wages as we paid
Winnie... The new one I found won't cost as much more, Arthur.
Oh, you've hunted up a new one already?
Yes. Last week, when I went shopping in Blackpool.
Blackpool?
Well, don't you understand? It's in bad times like the present that one has to keep up appearances most of all. Oh, I'm not sorry to see Gwenny leaving either. She's been here long enough.
Yes, but Hannah...
Yes, Arthur, I know what you're going to say. But it's a pleasant, homely sight to see her behaving like one of the family and calling the girls by their Christian names. But you know very well, dear, Gwenny hasn't got an atom of style about her. Now, the new one isn't a bit like that. She's a real maid and smacks of the town, if you know what I mean. She has a really nice accent. It's quite grammatical, too. She answers the door as if to the manner born.
I see. And, how much does she cost?
Well, what you have to think about is the money the girls and I are saving by making all our own clothes for the Isle of Man this summer.
So you're still talking about the Isle of Man?
And why shouldn't I?
Because the girls and you are not going, Hannah. Not to the Isle of Man, nor to any other isle, till times get better.
But, Daddy, surely...
Ada, I thought you had a headache and was staying in your room.
And so I was. But when Susan came up and said she thought you and Mother were... Oh, never mind. You don't really mean to say we're not going to the island this year?
I do mean it, and it's not the first time I've said so, Ada.
Well, your father's got the better of us again. Susan, my dear, no Isle of Man for us this summer. Remind me to go into Chester and get Madame Eugenia to take back my artificial silk.
Oh, Mummy, what a pity. But I don't see that it matters very much.
It does matter, Susan, it does. If we stay in this village, you'll get married before me because the boys here like you better than me.
Really?
What nonsense?
It isn't nonsense. There's David Pickford.
David? Our paper hanger?
Yes.
Not just a paper hanger, Mummy. He's a painter as well.
Well, a real painter, I mean. Anyway, boys like Susan better than me, and if she gets married before me, I'll die. I'll die. I just know it.
Oh, don't be doing that now, Miss Ada. Not before your time.
I didn't hear you knock, Gwenny.
No, Doctor? Well, what with you all so busy talking?
Well, I've really nothing more to say. I'll go up and shave.
Well, dear me, people are funny, they are really. There is me, crying and breaking my heart over going away, and Miss Ada now is doing the very same thing exactly, but all because you got to stay.
That's quite enough, Gwenny Thomas. We don't want any observations or remarks.
Oh, Mrs. Haggett, don't mind me. I am only a servant from that terrible country, Wales, and I have not got an atom of style about me, and I call the girls by their Christian names like I was one of the family, and now you've got a real maid from Blackpool, and she smacks of the town, yes, indeed, and she knows how to answer the doorbell like a proper English lady.
You're a common, impudent girl, Gwenny Thomas. And I give you notice for listening at keyholes.
You cannot give me notice, because I give myself notice already. And I won't go till my time is ripe.
I'll answer it, Gwenny. You've your hands full.
Indeed, and I have, Miss Susan.
Such impudence. I'll take no more back answers. You'll kindly leave now.
I go this afternoon.
Come along in, David.
Morning, Mrs. Haggett.
Oh, it's the paper hanger.
Morning, Ada.
Hello.
I was just saying it's about time you turned up.
David, isn't so late. You have to have a fit about it.
Gwenny Thomas.
Sorry for the delay, Mrs. Haggett. Had a small job to finish before coming here.
Well, now you are here. Please get all that decorating stuff out of the hall. I'm rather sick of the smell of paint.
There is plenty of things in this house that smells worse than paint. Perhaps Miss Ada would kindly oblige with a door. To close it, I mean.
Well, now, that job I mentioned, I trust you have no objection, Mrs. H. One of my pictures for each of girls.
A picture of you, David?
Oh, that's a good one. You'd not wish to hang that up. No, there are a couple as I painted myself. Well, what do you think of them? This is yours, Ada.
A dead fish?
It's a still life, Mummy. David's very good at that.
So it seems. What's yours? A duck?
Yes, a duck.
Then I suggest you change with your sister, Susan. Fish always brings Ada out in a rash.
Oh, Mummy, not in pictures. Besides, I simply adore this. Are they really all your own work, David?
They are that.
The frames as well?
Aye. If you'll let me have hold of that a moment. And the use of a chair. Now, how does this strike you? Ada's on the left, above the sideboard, and maybe Susan's on the right.
I rather wonder if I'd have any appetite, having to look up at a dead fish and a dead duck.
No, David's right, Mummy. They look really lovely. To think I never knew you were a picture painter, David. Do let me help you down.
Thanks. Well, that's all settled then.
We'll hang them both up later.
Oh, confound it, Hannah. I go upstairs to shave and there's no hot water.
Oh, morning, David. How are you, my boy?
Just fine, Doctor.
Daddy, look what David's painted for our dining room.
And this one, too.
It's not the decorating and paper hanging I care about, Doctor, but painting. Now, real painting. Oh, I reckon I've a flair for it.
Oh, you're not seriously thinking of giving up your business and becoming an artist, I hope. I mean, they're nearly always so dreadfully poor.
Oh, happen I am, Mrs. H. And I'll be a good one, too. I was thinking I might paint a portrait of the girls.
Oh, David, will you really? Does Susan have to be in it?
Oh, she does indeed. What, the pair of you? If Ada would like to go over to that chair and maybe sit by Susan. Aye, that's something like it.
And suppose Ada was listening to a seashell with Susan looking on. Hey, my boy.
Well, can't say as I'm struck on it.
How about them looking into the future, as it were?
Well, I'd rather paint them as they are. If I might just borrow a scrap of paper and a pencil.
Help yourself, my boy. Help yourself.
This'll do just fine.
Susan, you sit and I'll stand behind.
Why?
Oh, David wouldn't want you towering over me. Would you, David?
I'm not bothered one way or t'other. As champion as you are. Give me a moment or two more, Mrs. Haggett, and maybe you'll see what I'm about. Still now, perfectly still.
Let Ada be holding a bunch of flowers in her hand or something.
It's David's picture, Mummy. If he likes me just as I am.
Look, Hannah. You've got to admit the boy is quick with his pencil. Why, you can see which girl is which already.
Which is which?
I just took you up your kettle of hot water, Dr. Haggett. Waiting now it is.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. I was shaving. Well, I'd better get on with it. Thank you, my dear.
Oh, and that real towny maid from Blackpool is in the kitchen, Mrs. Haggett. But I don't really hardly think she will be staying. Not after what I told her about the place.
If Gwen is gone and poisoned the new maid's mind...
Oh, dear, excuse me, David, but this is important. I'd better go and help Mummy.
Well, is this a good moment to see what you've done?
If you want to.
Oh.
Of course, it's only a rough beginning, but I like to work from a sketch.
Oh, David, it's not quite fair to Ada.
So long as it's fair to you. That's all I care about.
Oh, but David...
You know perfectly well why I want to do the portrait... Just so as I can see you every day.
Now, David, you've known me too long to begin talking such nonsense.
And you've known me long enough to know what I think about you.
I don't think you'd better say any more.
Very well. Just say you'll marry me, and that's an end to it.
David!
What do you mean, David?
Well, you haven't even told me you love me.
Oh, heck. Do I have to tell you that?
Well, I think you ought to.
You can take my word for it.
Oh, all right, David. There's one thing, though. We'd have to wait for Ada to get married first.
Oh.
We shouldn't have a minute's peace if we didn't do that.
Well, whilst we're waiting, you'd best give us a kiss.
Why?
Well, it's you I want to marry, not Ada, and I've no time to waste. Besides, being kissed might put an end to your nonsense.
You never know. Perhaps it will.
You're not afraid?
Certainly not. Oh, that's nice. And again.
Daddy! Mummy, come here quick!
Oh, heck, I said there wasn't a moment to waste, well, didn't I?
Well, what is it? Where are you, anyway?
In the dining room.
Well?
Oh, it's nowt to get het up about. It's just that Ada...
Don't you dare speak to me, Mr. Pickford!
Ada, my dear, you know I have my visits to do. What do you want?
I came in here and caught them. That
man and Susan.
What is all this shouting about?
You don't have to tell them what I was doing, Ada. I'd sooner show them. It was this.
More like this, really.
Oh, kindly take your things from the hall and leave this God-fearing house, young man.
As you wish, Mrs. Haggart. But Susan and I, we're going to get wed.
Mummy, if you let Susan marry before I do, I'll...
What did I tell
you? Susan is not going to marry Mr. Pickford or anybody remotely resembling him. My daughter is far too good to waste on a starving, ragamuffin artist.
Shall I be answering it, Doctor?
Please, Gwenny. If it's a patient, show him into the dining room.
Very good, Doctor.
Down in two shapes of a lamb's tail.
Good morning, Dr. Haggart.
Will you step into the dining room, please? The doctor will be down in two shakes of a lamb's tail.
Thank you. I'll wait, then.
You can have a chair, if you like.
Thank you.
There was some of last year's magazines in the surgery, but they was lost in the moving, you see, on account of the surgery being painted. But the doctor will not keep you long. He will not, really.
You must be Gwenny.
I never seen you before, that I remember.
No, well, this is the first time we've ever met.
How did it come to pass that you walk in here, then, and call me by my Christian name, Aspoldus Brass?
Ever heard of mind readers?
Oh, goodness me, you're not one of them heathens, are you?
Well, only in a small way.
Whatever you are as cheeky as they make them. You don't have to be so downy just because you come from London. He's in there, Doctor, like you said.
Oh, thank you, Willie. Good morning.
Am I addressing Dr. Haggart?
You are.
I am indeed glad to meet you, Doctor.
Sit down, won't you? I'm sorry, but my surgery is out of action, being decorated, you know.
Don't apologize, Doctor. I've called because I feel...
A little bilious. Yes, you look it.
No, but...
Oh, you can't fool me where a sluggish liver is concerned. I've been a martyr to it all my life.
Yes, I dare say you're right, Doctor, but...
Just put your tongue out.
But I don't...
Headache? Nausea? Bowels all right?
If you'd let me explain, Doctor... I assure you I'm as fit as a fiddle.
Well, if you're as fit as a fiddle, what do you want me for?
I was coming to that.
Well, I may as well tell you at the outset that I don't want any insurance. I'm adequately covered.
I'm not here to sell insurance.
Well, then I...
On the contrary, I'm here solely for the pleasure of making your acquaintance.
That's very nice of you.
To be perfectly frank, I happen to be motoring through your lovely Cheshire lanes, enjoying the beauty of the spring foliage, and as I arrived in this charming village... I realized that here was an opportunity to perform a duty I've postponed for far too long.
Indeed. And what duty is that?
The payment of a sacred debt I owe you, Doctor.
Really?
A matter of 10 years ago, you had a patient, a man whom I called and still call my dearest friend.
You don't say so.
A West Country lad, Doctor, an orphan who lived for some time in this village. I'm referring to Christopher Bean.
Ah, so it's you, is it?
I beg your pardon?
And I took you for a patient. Can you beat that? But I wasn't expecting you for some hours yet.
You were expecting me?
Well, I got your telegram, Mr. It should be in my waistcoat pocket somewhere. Here it is.
If I might see that, they so often mix telegrams up, you know.
Well, that looks plain enough to me.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, of course. I forgot I'd said 12 noon.
Hmm. You say here you are an admirer of Chris Bean.
Of course.
I just want to make sure. Did the chap you're thinking of fancy himself as a bit of a painter?
Well, you might put it like that.
Ah? It's the same fellow, then.
Yes, poor chap.
Oh, we used to humour him about his pictures. You've got to humour a man who's as far gone in health as poor Chris was.
I know you did everything you could for him.
Well, I hope I did my duty. But in a case like that, you know, the plains of Cheshire are no place for tuberculosis.
Of course, if he'd had the wherewithal to get himself down to Cornwall or to the south of France, he might have stood a chance. That and keeping off the drink. Hmm. But as it was, there wasn't much I could do for him.
We're all mortal, Doctor.
Yes, you're right there, Mr. Davenport.
It delights me to know that you remember him with so much affection.
Oh, we haven't forgotten him, you know. We were talking about him only a few minutes ago. My wife took quite a fancy to him, as it were. Possibly because we haven't any boys of our own, and Chris, an orphan into the bargain. She gave him a studio to work in.
Did she really?
Mm, the old cowshed at the bottom of the garden. Oh, they were appalling, though, those pictures of his. If only the boy had studied art at the Exfield Grammar School.
Yes, I dare say you're right. Recently, though, Doctor, as I was going through an old desk of mine, I came across some letters Chris wrote to me whilst he was living here. And in the last of them, oh, it's disgraceful of me to have neglected it all these years. In that last letter, he spoke of your kindness to him and his gratitude, and asked if I couldn't help him to pay back what he owed to you.
Well, if that isn't like old
Chris... Now, let
Chris...
me see. The sum came to...
Oh, I don't remember now.
Exactly £20.
I dare say it was, yes.
Then allow me, Doctor. A little late, I admit, but paid in full. And my apologies for keeping you waiting.
Good Lord. But just a minute. Hannah, Ada, I want you to meet my family, Mr. Davenport.
I'm afraid I left my visiting cards back at the hotel.
Oh, I don't need any visiting card from you.
She's going to settle down.
Yes, Mother, yes.
My wife, my daughter, Ada. Our younger daughter is upstairs resting. Oh. She's not feeling too well. I called you two in here to present you to an honest man.
Oh, don't be alarmed, please, ladies.
This is Mr. Davenport, who sent the telegram from London. Believe it or not, he is a friend of Chris Bean, the very same boy we were discussing only this morning, Hannah. And now, 10 years after he passed away, this loyal friend has called to pay me the little debt that Chris owed me. £20. Things like that don't happen every day.
They certainly don't. Oh,
really, Doctor, I see nothing extraordinary in what I've done.
Oh, you try your hand at collecting doctor's bills these days and you'll soon see.
Having told you how much Chris, my friend, meant to me, I'm wondering if he didn't leave any of his pictures to remember him by. Of course, Chris wrote and told me how even the village lads here laughed at him when they watched him painting.
Yes, I'm afraid they did.
We never let him see us laughing.
No, indeed not.
They'd have a special sentimental value for me. You can understand, I'm sure.
Well, there's nothing to be ashamed of in that.
Arthur, I do believe there's one still outside in the chicken house.
The chicken house?
Hannah, you're right. There is. But I hate to think of the condition it must be.
I'd like to have it, Doctor. It doesn't matter what condition it's in, I'd like to have it.
Well, now, come along with me, Ada. We'll see if we can find it for Mr. Davenport.
I'm sure it is still there.
Excuse me, Mr. Davenport, but another idea has just occurred to me. Gwenny, it's just a chance, you know.
What is it I can do for you, Doctor?
Gwenny, my dear, run up to the attic and look in the corner just under that little window that'll never open. I seem to remember, Mr. Davenport, we used one of those pictures of Chris Bean's to stop a leak there as well. Run along now, Gwenny.
Well, what is it you want with the picture, Dr. Haggett?
Mr. Davenport here wants to take it home with him.
Mr. Davenport wants to take it home?
He was Chris Bean's oldest friend.
Mr. Davenport was?
Please do as I ask. The picture, Gwenny.
Yes, Dr. Haggett. Very well.
I'm sorry to cause your household so much trouble.
My dear fellow, a man like you isn't any trouble at all. I only hope we can find what you're looking for. Ah, Ada.
Here it is, Daddy. It's a bit dirty, but you know what chickens are.
Well, you just let Gwenny get at it with a bit of carbolic soap and a scrubbing brush.
No, that won't be necessary, thank you.
It won't be any trouble.
No, please.
But you can't carry it off in the nasty condition it's in now.
Don't you see what it will mean to me to bring this picture back to life myself?
I do a bit of painting, Mr. Davenport. Only in a small way, of course.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's one of mine over there, the buttercups. I turned over one of Crispin's pictures and painted my bunch of flowers on the back of it.
Well, I never knew that. A pity, Mr. Davenport. There's another we might have given you if Ada hadn't gone daubing it.
Please don't apologize. Might I take it down?
Of course.
Why, the exquisite texture of these buttercups is not to be expressed in words.
Mummy, did you hear what Mr. Davenport said?
Of course, I know you won't want to part with it, but if you let me buy it, perhaps?
What's it worth?
That's hard to say. Her name isn't known yet, but I should think the better London dealers could sell a thing like this for, let me see, 12 guineas?
12?
Well, 10, perhaps.
12.
He said 10, my dear.
He said 12 first, and 12 is Ada's price.
I'll pay 12, naturally, if you'll consider selling it.
Oh, yes.
Look, I don't know that Ada ought to take this money, Hannah.
But, Daddy, a girl like me can find plenty of ways of spending 12 guineas, really.
Of course, Miss Haggard. There's 12, and a 10-shilling note, and 2 shillings.
Thank you, Mr. Davenport.
Thank you, Miss Haggard, for the very great pleasure of discovering a new artist.
Oh, Mr. Davenport. And you've got Crispin's painting on the other side of mine.
Hmm? By Jove, so I have. You know, I'd quite forgotten.
Oh, yes. Not bad, eh? What do you think he was getting at that time?
Isn't it meant to be the old stone bridge where the Grasmere Road goes past Orchard Farm, Daddy?
I could not find anything in the attic, Doctor. There is no pictures there, no pictures whatever.
But, my dear girl, I put it there with my own hands, just under the little window with the cobwebs all over it.
There is nothing there now. Only some empty jam jars that Mrs. Haggett is saving up.
Well, I'm damned. I could have sworn...
You are swearing, Arthur, and I don't approve.
I'd like to have shown you how much we appreciate all you've done, Mr. Davenport, but there we are.
Believe me, I'm more than satisfied with what I've got. But I repeat, I'm only sorry for the trouble I must have caused.
Oh, my dear fellow, no trouble at all.
Goodbye, Mrs. Haggett. Miss Haggett?
It's been a pleasure, Mr. Davenport. A great pleasure.
Well, I must say that your visit this morning is going to stand out as one of the happiest memories in my medical career, Mr. Davenport.
Dr. Haggett, you and I are going to know one another very much better. And it occurs to me that we might go into business together. Business which might be highly profitable to both of us.
Oh, I haven't got any capital.
It will require nothing more than your friendly cooperation.
Oh, I've got plenty of that.
Then we are rich men. Goodbye, Dr. Haggett.
Goodbye.
Well, at this rate, Arthur, we might get to the Isle of Man after all.
Well, after this morning, I'm not so sure you won't. Especially after what he said a moment ago. Something about going into business together.
There we are then, Daddy. As long as it makes us rich.
Ada, if there's one thing in this world I can't abide, it's greed for money.
Let's get down to the grocer's, Mummy, before Daddy gets started.
Yes, Ada, we will. I'll just get my things.
Oh, you're just off too, Doctor. I've your visiting list all written down, it is.
Oh, that fellow Davenport's taken doctoring clean out of my head, Gwynny.
Well, let me help you on with your coat, Doctor.
Thank you.
If I was you, Doctor, I would keep my eye on him. Careful.
Oh?
Well, in my idea of things, Dr. Haggett, it is a good idea to watch people pretty close when they know as much as he knows.
Really, Gwynny, the way you interfere in other people's business.
Your gloves, Doctor.
Thank you. 11 o'clock already. I'll be back by 1.
Christopher Bean's oldest friend, indeed.
Hello, Gwynny.
Or Susan.
Oh, Gwynny, I never thought anybody could feel as miserable as I do.
Oh, Angharadi. People can be miserable sometimes, something terrible.
Well, you haven't got anything against artists, have you?
Me? Oh, no, not me. Now, he's never forgotten his keys this time. Oh, you again, Mr. Davenport? The doctor has just left, making his calls, he is.
It was you I came back to see, Gwynny.
Oh, well, you'd best come in then.
I'll be in the kitchen if you want me, Gwynny.
All right, Miss Susan.
Well, might we sit down for a moment?
In here, then, Mr. Davenport. And whatever have you in your head to say to me?
Thank you.
I think as you'd best sit down, Mr. Davenport, like you said.
Oh, yes, of course.
And what in the world are you thanking me for?
For having once been kind to a friend of mine. For giving him the things that other women denied him. All the warm, tender things he so badly needed.
What do you know about me?
Only what he told me. Except for you, Gwenny, I was the best friend Chris ever had.
I never heard him speak of no Davenport. He used to talk a lot about his friend James Brown, but I never heard of you.
I am James Brown.
Well, if you are James Brown, what for are you calling yourself Davenport?
Davenport's my professional name. I needed a name people would remember in the art world, and Maxwell Davenport...
I do know that James Brown got in a bit of trouble. He owed a lot of money, and he could not pay it back, so he left the place he was living in full speed. Well, perhaps he did change his name.
Precisely. I won't deny that I used to be a bit, well, offhand about paying my rent. Wouldn't you expect that of a friend of Chris's?
Oh, well, now I come to think of it, perhaps I was wrong, thinking wrong things and acting so old-fashioned with you and all. Did Chris really mention my name to you? That was nice of Chris.
Chris was very fond of you.
Did he say that, too?
Over and over again. He told me that you were the only one who ever liked his painting or realized what he was getting at.
Oh, yes, I liked them. Oh, of course, I had to learn to like them. But he learned me. Oh, he learned me a lot of things.
If you liked his pictures so much, why didn't you take better care of them? Why did you let so many of them get lost?
Now, I would rather not examine that problem, if you don't mind, Mr. Brown.
You said he taught you things.
Oh, yes, he taught me. Not that he made out to be a teacher... But you could not be with him, like, and not pick up a bit here and a bit there.
I'd be interested to hear, if you remember.
Oh, I remember. Well, it was mostly things to see, I suppose. Like the rust colour that the wet fields turn into at this time of the year. When the sky turns into the colour of that old blue plate you see on the corner cupboard. That, Mr. Brown, is cobalt blue. That is a painting term, cobalt blue. And he showed me the old red barn and that stone bridge he was always at it painting. And there was I all the time used to that Grasmere bridge and never noticed it before. He learned me that old chairs can be more than old chairs just fit to throw away. That some of them can be beautiful. And did you know that old brick houses isn't red, but mostly green and brown? And that moonlight and snow isn't white at all, but all sorts of colours. And that ash trees is most decorative when their leaves come off. He learned me that a man can get drunk and not be no different, only more so. And that everybody has got more good things in them than bad things. Oh, he learned me a big lot. And I have never forgotten none of it. Never. I have lived over and over again the time he was here. Over and over again since he died.
Did he leave you much to remember him by?
But I was just telling you.
I was thinking of more substantial things.
Substantial?
Little sketches, for instance.
I could show you something a lot better than sketches.
Oh? Well, what would that be?
He painted a picture of me, life-size. It has hung over my bed all these years.
Oh, I should certainly like to see that, Gwenny. Gwenny, show me the portrait. Show it to me now.
I will show it to you. It is that portrait that makes me feel worse about leaving here. You have got to come to my room to see it.
Yes, fine.
Oh, I forgot. That townie maid has come to take my place. I wouldn't like her seeing me take a man into my bedroom where I lived for 15 years.
What harm would that do?
She would tell on me to Mrs. Haggett.
Oh, yes. And I'd rather Dr. and Mrs. Haggett didn't know about our little talk. When can I see you again?
Oh, where are you staying?
The Eccleston Arms. Can you come there?
It is just by the station. I will call there on my way after dinner, even though it is a public house. That is one of the family coming in through the kitchen now. You had better be going if you don't want them to see you. Mr. Brown.
Yes, Gwenny?
Don't tell nobody what you know about Chris and me. There is a nice man.
No, don't worry.
Gwenny, that wasn't Mother, was it?
No, Susan says. It wasn't nobody worth talking about, really.
Oh, you can come in then, David. Watch the front door, Gwenny, will you?
Oh, David. Susan, what is he doing here and kissing?
Oh, I just had to come back. Susan, I've reached an important decision in my life.
You have? The door. Gwenny, for goodness sake, watch the front door.
How can I watch that when David here gets me so interested?
Oh, well, we never have secrets from Gwenny. What is it, David?
Well, like I told you, Susan, that Bertie Willis has been on at me to sell me business. And to give him all contracting in the area. £60 is all he offers. Not enough by a long chalk. But I've decided to take it.
Whatever for?
So as I can get to Chelsea and study art.
But that means you'd be leaving here, David.
Happen it does. But on one condition, mind. You come with me.
Oh, David, how can I? Well, you know Mummy had never let me go.
I'm not counting on asking her, if that's what you mean.
David Pickford, you are not planning in your mind to elope?
Just that, Gwenny. If Susan likes me as much as she says she does, she'll not let me go without her. Well, don't just stand there, me girl. Say summat.
Oh, David, I think you're wonderful. Really, I do. Don't you, Gwenny?
Well, I do look up to him for it, I must say.
Well, here's what we do, then. Gwenny's leaving later today, yes?
So I am.
Then Susan gives you what clothes she needs, Gwenny, for you to take to Manchester tonight. That's if you don't mind.
Well, now...
I'll still bring Pony and Trap round as we arranged, to pick up Gwenny's box and such like. And you, Susan, you'll come along with me. Same as if we're seeing her off. I drive you down to station and dump you in train.
But you, David, what about you?
I'll meet pair of you in Manchester. And you and me, Susan, we get wed. Well, I don't see nought wrong with that plan.
Susan, if you listen to one more word of this, I will go straight and tell on you to your mum.
Gwenny, you wouldn't do that.
It is my Bible duty.
You told me you hadn't got anything against artists. Gwenny, haven't you ever cared an awful lot for somebody?
Do you think I would still be standing here watching this front door if I hadn't?
Oh, heck, Gwenny, say you'll help her.
It will not be on your account, my lad. Oh, but when a girl gets into a flurried state, she needs somebody to look after her and see that she does get married and not go off her head regardless. Well, I have been in love myself, I know.
Oh, heck.
Well, don't be gawping now, David. The back door, and sharp about it.
4:30, mind, with Pony and Trap.
Yes, it's all right, David.
And you, Susan, up to your room, unless you want your mum or your dad to see you in this state.
Oh, dear, dear Gwenny.
Oh, as well it is my last day in this house.
Oh, good morning. This is where Dr. Heggett resides, I believe.
It is where he has been living for 30 years.
I wonder if I can see him for a moment.
You could see him if he was here, but he is not here.
Oh, will he be long?
Well, not so very long, I should think. The Haggard family is into their food, always on the dot.
Well, I come in and wait, then, if you would allow me. Thank you, Gwenny. It is Gwenny.
You do not know me.
No, but I've heard so much about you, your kind nature, your appreciation of modern painting. Only, I expected you'd be wearing a gingham dress.
A gingham dress?
Red and white, same as you used to wear.
Oh, Dr. Haggett, I am not sorry to see you reach home. Indeed, I am not.
What is it, Gwenny?
And well, might you ask? There is too many things going on round here that is beyond my understanding. I think the best thing for me is to get back to my kitchen and stay there.
So you are Dr. Haggett.
What can I do for you?
My card.
If you would care to step into the dining room, Mr. Rosen.
Thank you.
Are you a patient?
Oh, no.
Please take a seat.
Thank you. Well, now, in the course of your professional career, Dr. Haggett, you once had a patient who was a friend of mine, a painter.
Oh, good.
I see. You know to whom I refer. Yes, a painter with whom I confess I had personal difficulties. Just lately I came across some letters. Letters he wrote to me while he lived here under your care. They gave me an idea how, in a small way, I might ease my conscience as regards him.
Well, I'm blowed, Arthur.
Dr. Haggett, my friend Christopher Bean died owing you £20. I've totted up the interest on the unpaid bill at 6%, and the total for 10 years comes to exactly £33.4.7. Allow me to offer you my check for this sum.
Thank you very much, sir.
Ah, please don't mention it. In paying this, I fulfill a sacred duty to a poor devil I might have given a hand to before he passed beyond all human aid. Of course, I realize we are all mortal, but I shall go back to London feeling...
a happier man?
You take the very words out of my mouth, Dr. Heggie.
Mr. Rosen, I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, but there is a question I'd like to put to you.
Don't hesitate, Dr. Heggie, anything.
Are you, by any chance, on the point of inquiring whether Chris Bean left any pictures behind him that you can take away as souvenirs?
Oh. I do not do things that way, Doctor. I do not come begging.
Oh, my dear Mr. Rosen, I never said you did. I only asked
if you will allow me to be businesslike. I was on the point of asking if any pictures are still in your possession. I assume, of course, that they are your property. The boy had no family, and any pictures he left here, even those he may have given to you personally, may be considered security for that unpaid bill, and so forfeit to you. Dr. Heggett, I will give you £200 for the lot.
£200 for Chris Bean's picture?
For the lot, you understand?
Oh, I'm not saying a word against your offer, Mr. Rosen. The only trouble is you're not the first. There was a gentleman here 2 hours ago.
Ah, with the same proposition?
No, not exactly.
You didn't sell him your Christopher Bean pictures?
No, I gave them to him.
What? Dr. Heggett, you've been swindled.
Oh, my dear fellow, you don't have to tell me that.
What was his name?
Oh, let me see. Davenport. Maxwell Davenport, that's it.
What? You mean to tell me Maxwell Davenport let you give him?
Well, I thought they were no good. You know him.
Oh, do I know Davenport? Of course I know him. But I would never have believed this of him. Witnesses. Have you got any witnesses?
Well, my wife and daughter, Ada.
Ah, then this may not be quite so serious. Davenport is the chief critic on the English Arts Monthly, the best we have in London, and everybody licks his boots. Now, he would hardly care to have it known that he had...
Dr. Heggett! I cannot stand no longer to have strange English people coming into here and calling me by my Christian name. This man, he says you are expecting him, and he calls me Gwenny to my face.
Well, is this Dr. Heggett?
It is.
Well, well. I'm Davenport.
Who?
Maxwell Davenport. I sent you a telegram yesterday from London. But don't let me disturb you. I'll wait in the hall.
No, don't go. Don't go. Mr. Rosen, is this Davenport?
Yes, that's him.
But it isn't the same chap.
What? Might I ask what you're doing here, Rosen? Are the scavengers gathering already?
Print what you like about me, Mr. Davenport, but don't insult me to my face.
Now, look, sir,
Just a minute. This is my house, and I have a right to know what's going on here. You say you're Davenport.
I do.
And Mr. Rosen says you are. All right, then, you must be Davenport. But will you, in heaven's name, tell me what all this is about?
Certainly. It's about one of the world's greatest injustices, Doctor, which I am doing my small part to set to rights. You once had for your patient a poor boy, a painter.
Chris Bean.
Ah, I'm glad you remember him, Doctor. Now, this poor boy that I mentioned...
died owing me £20, and you've come all the way here to pay it.
No, Doctor, I haven't. Don't say that Bean owed any man anything. It is we, all of us, who stand in everlasting debt to him, as the world always stands in debt to its men of genius.
Genius? Chris Bean, a...
Yes, Doctor, a genius. And I have come from London to gather any details I may find concerning his life here for a critical biography of him which I am writing.
Why?
Well, haven't you read the sensation his pictures have been making in London and New York? Haven't you seen the current number of the London Mercury?
That only came out yesterday, Mr. Davenport.
Quite. And only now, 10 years after his death has Christopher Bean had his first London exhibition at the Chandos Galleries. Only now do we realize that he wasn't merely the greatest English painter, but one of the greatest masters of all time.
Ah, Chris was?
Your Chris Bean, who painted and drank and coughed his short life away here in this Cheshire backwater. The place from which he wrote to his friend James Brown. Alas, also dead. The exquisite group of letters published yesterday in the London Mercury.
Ah, Christopher Bean. Hannah, Ada, for heaven's sake, come in here. So, those were the letters you chaps kept coming across, Mr. Rosen. No, no, no. Please don't bother to answer.
What is it, Father?
My daughter, Ada, and my wife, Mr. Davenport.
Davenport? But surely...
That's all right, Hannah. I'll explain later. And Mr. Rosen. Mr. Davenport, I'm only a simple country doctor, but I confess, much as I liked Chris Bean, I never thought he'd get anywhere in this world. Never.
I am not exaggerating, Doctor, when I say that no painter of our time has got as far as he has.
Does this mean that people are actually paying money for Chris Bean's pictures?
If only the dealers could find more to sell. There are so few that they fetch high prices, even in these days, Mrs. Haggett.
As much as 12 guineas.
My dear young lady, not less than 1,000 and as much as 2.
2,000 what?
Guineas.
2,000 guineas each?
And you, Mr. Rosen, offered me a paltry £200 for the lot.
Well, you just keep in mind I wasn't the first, and say no more about it.
A very generous offer for Mr. Rosen. I hope I arrived in time to stop his game.
What is it, Hannah?
Don't feel very well.
Nor I. Mr. Davenport, you see in me a desperate man.
Desperate, Doctor? The owner of pictures worth a fortune?
How do you know I've got any such pictures?
Why, from the London Mercury. Bean, in his letters, enumerates 7 of the pictures he painted and left behind him here. The Briar Turnpike Cornfield, the Grasmere Stone Bridge, the Old Red Barn, the Brick House...
Oh, I suppose the whole trouble is I didn't take them seriously enough.
Do not reproach yourself, Doctor. You were not the only one. You haven't let anything happen to them.
Well, there are those two, of course, and... They must be somewhere if he left 7. I'm going to look for those pictures, and I am going to find them. And when I do find them, I'll pay them the honor they deserve. I shall hang them on these walls. I'm not so keen on parting with them. Not now I know their worth. But now... Well, now I'd like you all to go away and leave me to talk matters over with my family. This is all very, very sudden.
But you will allow me to return again this afternoon.
Well, what for?
Why, to get your recollections of Bean's life here.
Well, after I've had my dinner.
Very well. And I'd like to leave this copy of the London Mercury with you. In it you'll find Bean's letters. I brought it simply for the list of pictures he mentions, but you'll enjoy reading what he says about you.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye, then, and until later.
Doctor... About this man who was here before me. If you don't know his real name, what did he look like?
You buzz off, too.
All right, Doctor, all right. But I'll turn up again, don't you worry. And don't do anything final till you see me. Till you see me.
The one chance I've ever had in my life to make any money, and it slipped through my fingers.
I can't look at this spot on the wall where my picture was without... boiling over.
Well, now that all those funny Londoners is gone, I suppose I'd better leave the table for your dinner, all of you.
I don't want any dinner.
You don't? Who's to blame for this?
You can't blame me.
Which of us took the boy in and gave him the old shed to paint in?
Really, Arthur, you had no more use for his pictures than I had.
I cannot have you two people having a row like this on my last day.
Mrs. Haggett and I will have a row if we want to, without any help from you, my woman.
Dr. Haggett, you have not ever spoke to me like that before.
Get back to your kitchen.
Now, the important thing is for us not to lose our heads. There are only 2 things that matter. The first man was not Mr. Davenport, and if he wasn't,
Who was he?
Oh, what does it matter? Your father gave the pictures to him.
He got those pictures out of Daddy on false pretenses.
Hannah, Ada's right. He did.
Then we can get them back.
Yes, but it weren't for the 12 guineas he gave to Ada.
That wasn't for the back side of the picture.
You must find him, Arthur.
Yes, but how? I don't even know his real name. All I know is he's gone back to London a happier man. I'll find him, though, somehow. And when I do, I'll give him the hiding he deserves.
How many pictures did Crispine leave here, Arthur?
Well, Davenport, the real Davenport, said it was 7.
Well, what's become of the other 5?
Ah, Susan, my dear. Now, think carefully. Have you seen any of Crispine's old pictures hanging about?
Oh, is that all you want to know?
Is that all? Is that all? What are you blithering about, girl?
Daddy, what's come over you all of a sudden?
Kindly answer my question, my dear.
Oh, yes, of course I have.
What?
Where?
Well, the last time I saw them, they were in the shed at the bottom of the garden.
In the shed?
Yes, Daddy.
How many, Susan?
Oh, I can't remember offhand. About 8 or 10, I think.
8 or 10?
Yes, they were in the same corner where we used to keep the coal slack.
Oh, nonsense, girl. I'm in and out of that old shed the whole day long, taking my bike out and putting it back again, and I haven't seen any pictures.
Arthur, there's no good, Arthur.
What do you mean, no good?
I burnt them.
You what?
I put them on a bonfire and burnt them.
The whole 8 or 10?
I should have said there were more.
You would have said there were more, at 2,000 guineas each.
You thought they were terrible pictures too, Arthur.
Don't keep on saying that, woman. Hannah, you ought to go down on your knees and pray for the forgiveness of both your children.
We'll just have to work ourselves to the bone to get back the 2 we parted with this morning.
Oh!
Daddy!
Davenport left me a copy of the London Mercury. Listen to this. Dr. H. takes conscientious care of me. He knows nothing of medicine, but looks like a gargoyle, and that amuses me. That's what Chris Bean wrote about me in his letters, which are published here. Here, Susan, you can read the rest. Perhaps he has something to say about your mother.
This angel of devotion is both sister and nurse to me, and more than both. I know that her care is adding months to my life, all the more because she, and only she, sees merit in what I paint. She is the single comfort I have found in my life here, and in her own way she is beautiful.
Well, I liked the boy, I admit. And I encouraged him.
Well, Mummy, that wasn't you, that was Gwenny. He goes on to say, when I go into the fields these chill autumn mornings, she brings me hot tea to drink.
Ah, tea.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter now.
It does matter that a boy I befriended should carry on behind my back with a serpent.
It doesn't say that. It
says she was beautiful. She was never beautiful.
Good Lord.
Arthur, I wish you wouldn't swear so loud.
Chris Bean did paint another portrait while he was here. I distinctly remember he did.
Another, Daddy?
Of Gwenny.
What? Arthur, you're right.
Yes, it's a great big portrait.
And it's been hanging up in our bedroom ever since he died.
Ada, go up and see if it's still there.
But if it is still there, then it must belong to Gwenny. Ada, wait. Daddy, I won't stand by and see you take advantage of Gwenny.
Oh, don't take any notice of Susan. Now, there's one thing to do now, and only one thing, and that is to find out if Gwenny's planning to take that portrait with her to Montserrat.
Then call her in here and ask her.
She'd guess what you were after.
What do you mean, after?
Ada's right. Not that we've got anything to hide. Now, let me think. One way of looking at it is that the portrait is our property. Gwenny isn't what you might call an artist's model, is she?
I should hope not, Arthur.
No. Well, that's settled. She's not an artist's model. She's our servant. We were paying her 30 shillings a month at the time, and her board and lodging...
It was only 18 shillings in those days, dear.
Oh, that doesn't matter. The principle's the same.
Yes.
Now, the question is, had she the right to let him paint it during working hours that I was paying her for out of the sweat of my brow?
Arthur, you're quite right. Your conscience is clear. Without a shadow of doubt, that portrait belongs to us. Ada, go and bring it down. And hurry.
Yes, Mummy.
Perhaps I should have told her to tear the window curtains, turn the bed over.
Whatever for?
Well, then we could have told Gwenny that a burglar must have taken it. At least you could, Arthur.
I'm only a simple country doctor. I don't care for money, as you know, Hannah. It's only for the sake of my loved ones that I must have it. If Gwenny takes it the wrong way, I can give her a little something.
Oh, it's no good.
No good?
Gwenny's up there.
What about the picture?
The picture's there, too.
Well, what does it look like?
Awful.
And what's Gwenny doing?
Packing her box.
Then go and tell her it's time she came and served up the dinner.
I'd better answer the telephone. Hello, yes? Yes, this is Dr. Haggett. Who? What? The Grasmere Stone Bridge. How much? No. I'll think it over. Ring me up tomorrow.
What? What was it, Arthur?
Some London firm want to pay me 2,500 guineas for the Grasmere Stone Bridge, if it's in good condition. Do you hear that, Hannah?
2,500.
That's the one I painted my buttercups on the back of and sold it for 12 guineas.
I know it is.
Dinner's ready. You can all sit down now.
Oh, for what we are about to receive, oh, Lord, make us truly thankful.
Davenport?
Yes?
I'm the other daughter, Susan. We haven't met.
Ah, how do you do, Susan?
Mummy hopes you'll forgive her, but she's having a rest. And Daddy went out after dinner, and we don't know where he is or what's become of him.
I don't mind waiting.
Well, Mr. Davenport, as you seem rather at a loose end at the moment, I've got a sort of favour to ask you.
Please do.
We wouldn't tell my father or mother I asked it, would you?
I couldn't keep a secret.
Well, I was thinking of eloping this afternoon.
My dear child.
Yes. And you turning up today out of the blue is absolutely providential, Mr. Davenport, because all I need is an art critic.
I think you'd better explain a little more fully. There is always some reason for an elopement. Either the man's married or the girl's father and mother don't approve of him.
Oh, that's my reason.
Oh, well, why don't they?
Well, because he's an artist and they've got no use for artists.
Ah, is he a good artist?
Well, he thinks he is. But I'm not a fit judge, so I thought perhaps, well, perhaps you'd have a look at some of his pictures and tell me what you think.
Ah.
Oh, I'd marry him, whatever happened. I just want to know the worst for my own private information.
Well, I warn you, Susan, that if I don't like
you... Oh, do tell him.
Is it wise to want to know the truth yourself?
I'll show you I'm not afraid. I've two of David's pictures here. They're only little ones, so they don't do him justice. But you can tell me what you think to my face, really you can. This one, well, that's my dead duck, and this is my sister's salmon.
Curious. Very curious. I'd certainly say a pupil of Christopher Bean.
Oh, yes, he was, when he was a little boy. But he's been painting on his own ever since.
Hmm. Well, they've certainly got their own individuality.
Does that mean they're bad?
Oh, no. It means that they make me want to see more of his work, and to meet him.
Oh, well, that's easy. Could you come now? You see, there isn't much time.
Ah, the elopement.
Yes, at 4:30, so as to catch the train with Gwenny. Mm. We mustn't miss it, or well, there isn't another...
Ah, Dr. Haggett.
Hannah.
Oh, Daddy, what's the matter? You look awful.
I feel awful.
I'm just taking Mr. Davenport out to see around the village, Daddy. We shan't be very long.
Yes, well, if you will lead the way then, Susan. Mm.
Oh, well, that's a bit better.
Arthur, it's only just gone 3.
What's time got to do with it? Ah, I needed that.
Well?
I've been all over the blessed place, up to the cornfield, down to the Grasmere Stone Bridge, up to the cemetery.
What did you go to the cemetery for?
Well, to look for that scoundrel who stole the Grasmere Stone Bridge from me this morning.
Well, do you think that he died and buried himself or something? Oh, do remove those ridiculous bicycle clips, Arthur.
Well, he's still here somewhere, painting.
Painting?
I found that much out at the Eccleston Arms. He put his luggage in there this morning and he hasn't taken it out yet or paid his bill.
Were the pictures in his room? Why didn't you?
He took them through the bank, Hannah. They're in the vault.
Well?
The bank wouldn't let me have them, that fool of a manager. And now this robber's gone out again, if you please, taking his dinner and his painting things with him. His name's Tallant, by the way. I found that out. Gwenny?
Yes, Doctor?
Bring me a glass of milk and a dry biscuit.
Oh, wouldn't you fancy something hot, Dr. Haggard?
I haven't time to fancy something hot.
Oh, as you wish, Doctor, just as you wish.
There were 3 more telephone calls and 7 more telegrams.
I have not time for telegrams either. Gwen is leaving on the 5 o'clock train and we can't let her take that portrait with her. After all, Hannah, it's the only one we can be sure of laying our hands on.
You simply have to get to work on her, then.
Well, that's just what I've come back home to do. You started it, but I've got to finish it.
Ah, the milk and biscuit.
Or I have got a nice pork chop. I could hot it up lovely for you, Doctor.
Gwenny.
Oh, Ranul, I never see you in a state like this before. It is all them queer London creatures coming here.
And they're all coming back, Gwenny. They may be here at any minute now.
Oh, why do you bother your head with them, Dr. Haggard?
I wouldn't mind so much if this room looked right to me. It's that awful patch over the fireplace where Ada's picture was.
Oh, I will wash it where the smoke has made a mark of the fire.
No, there's no time to do that.
Well, couldn't you hang one of that David Pickford's there, dear?
No, not really, Hannah. David's pictures aren't big enough for that. What we want is something to cover up the whole place. It must be a big picture, my dear.
Oh, yes, of course.
Mm. Gwenny, haven't you got a picture Chris Bean painted of you before he died?
Oh, yes. I have got my portrait.
Well, if that isn't just the thing, Gwenny. We'll hang that there over that awful patch.
Oh, Doctor.
Yes?
Well, to say the truth, I would like to oblige, sure enough, but Doctor, dear me, I could not have my picture hanging in here. It would not look right.
Well, why wouldn't it look right?
Bobble Annoy, what would people say if they came into your living room and see a picture of me hanging up there as bold as brass, scraping carrots?
What do I care what people say? I'd rather have you up there scraping carrots than half these society women that can't scrape anything.
But my portrait hasn't got no frame even, Dr. Haggard.
That doesn't matter either. Anything to cover up that awful patch.
Now, don't refuse him, Gwenny. There's a dear.
Well, I was never able to say no to Dr. Haggard. I'll go and get it.
You see, my dear, a much better way than stealing it.
She hasn't given it up yet, Arthur.
Mm, she will. And you can't take more than one step at a time. Of course, I'll give her something. I said I will. £5.
Five?
Hannah. It's hardly for you, a burnt up a fortune, to nag at me for risking a mere £5. I'll be honest with you, though. If it wasn't for those telegrams and telephone calls, I wouldn't be risking fivepence on it.
Well, whatever, here it is.
Let me help you, Gwenny.
Oh, Mrs. Haggett. I feel so silly with it, I do really.
Now, gently down with it. Oh. Gently. That's it. Now, if I just let the bottom rest on the mantel shelf. Now, let's stand back a bit and see what it looks like.
Oh, whoever would have thought my picture could look like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not cramped up like in my own room, Dr. Haggett.
No.
Wouldn't Crispin be pleased to see it as it is now?
Oh, dear me, I wish he could see it.
It is like you, Gwenny. You can't get away from it.
All the time that he was painting it, he was keeping on saying, Gwenny, this is my masterpiece that I am painting now.
Do you hear that, Arthur?
Gwenny, you're positive he said that?
Oh, yes, indeed. And when it was all finished, He thanked me. He thanked me, Doctor, just as if I had done something for him. Oh, boys like him. It isn't right for boys like him to die so young.
Oh, Gwenny, my dear, you mustn't cry. You'll have me crying as well.
You'll have us all crying. Ada, come down here and see Gwenny's portrait.
You're all so good to me.
Oh, we're fond of you, Gwenny. Fonder of you than I can put into words. A simple country doctor like me. We've two Gwennys here now. One in the flesh and blood and the other in oils.
Oh.
Ah, here's Ada to admire it too.
Oh,
it seems a pity to let both leave us, doesn't it?
Oh, Dr. Haggett, I do not know how to thank you. Indeed, I do not. And I won't forget. On the Bible, I won't.
Seeing you both like this puts an idea into my head.
I'm sure it's a good one, Arthur.
Oh, Dr. Haggett could have nothing but good ideas.
Well, since you're leaving us after all these years, Gwenny, oh, it would be very nice indeed if you left your portrait behind here with us.
Leave it here for good? Do you mean for me to go away without it?
Oh, I wouldn't ask you to make a sacrifice like that without giving you something instead.
What could you give to me instead?
Oh, I don't say I could give you anything to make up for what the portrait would mean to us, but I have an idea that £5 would come in pretty useful in Manchester, eh?
Make it 10, Daddy.
All right, I will. I'll make it £10. Upon my soul, I will. I don't think Gwenny will have much to say against that.
Oh, goodness me. Would it really mean so very much to you to have me hanging up there in an oil painting?
Now, would we want anybody we didn't love hanging up in our house?
Well, I've got so used to looking at that portrait.
But, Gwenny, that's no better than if you sat down all day in front of a looking glass.
But it isn't me I see in the picture. It is the time when I was young. It is how things used to be and everything. But I cannot say it. Well, if you are all made up your minds.
There's somebody at the door.
Don't disappoint us, Gwenny.
Oh, she won't disappoint us. You know you won't, Gwenny. Think of it. £10.
Well, if you are all made up your minds that you want...
Now, our own dear Gwenny is speaking at last.
Nobody answered the door, so I took the liberty...
If you have come for my portrait, Mr. Brown, I cannot let you have it. I made up my mind I could not let you have it anyway, and now it seems I have got to make other arrangements. So if you will excuse me, Mr. Brown...
Other arrangements?
So you're after Gwenny's portrait as well as what you've already got. You told us that you were Davenport. She calls you Brown. Who the dickens are you?
I hardly expected to see you in my house again, Mr. Tallant.
Tallant!
Perhaps you and your daughter would leave us, Mrs. Haggett. The doctor and I, we have some business to discuss of the most delicate nature, you understand.
Very well. If you want any help, Arthur, just call us. Well, come along, Ada.
Your husband and I are going to be great friends now, Mrs. Haggett.
I don't attach much importance to that last remark of yours, Mr. Tallant. You as good as stole a mountain of money from me this morning.
I must ask you to be a little more careful in what you say, Dr. Haggett.
Then what is your opinion of the mean trick you played on me, sir?
A simple business operation carried through in the classic tradition of art collecting, Doctor. Not a day passes but some collector finds some rare and unappreciated work of art.
Did you even know Chris Bean?
Never heard of him till a month ago.
Oh, Lord, you've got a nerve.
Quiet. But to come to the point, just how much have you told Davenport about the pictures Bean left here?
I didn't tell him anything. I was still hoping to find the others.
You haven't succeeded?
No, they've been burnt. All but the two you've got and that portrait there.
Yes, a masterpiece.
I'm glad you like it.
Oh, you and I can hardly hope to reach that height.
You and I? What are you blithering about, man?
Coro. The name means nothing to you?
Not a thing.
No. Corot was a French painter of landscapes. He died in 1875. The bulk of his painting has been done since then. Well, the same is true of the late Cézanne. He died in 1906. I know a dozen excellent Cézannes, all painted during the last year.
I spoke this morning of a business partnership between us. Allow me. The Briar Turnpike Cornfield by the late Christopher Bean.
What? Be careful. Don't touch it. It's not dry yet.
Where did you find it?
I painted it.
What are you?
A forger.
Ah.
I see that you begin to understand. Those letters in the London Mercury tell us about the pictures Bean left here. The originals are lost. Thanks to my peculiar gifts, though, their loss need not disturb us.
Yes, but...
I assure you, Dr. Haggett, I'm offering you a gold mine. We have an absolute corner in Christopher Bean's, for you cannot only vouch for my forgeries, you can also discredit any competitors. Have I made myself clear?
But it isn't right. It's criminal.
Well?
And, far too risky.
Perhaps, but no picture-collecting simpleton ever admits he's been taken in, so...
Now, you listen to me for a moment. I don't like the sound of it at all. Not at all. I was all right this morning before you arrived. I was respected in the world. In Cheshire, anyway. And at peace with myself. I was tempted by nothing and by no man.
As I remarked this morning, we're all mortal, Doctor. You have a wife and two lovely daughters.
You're right there. And being tempted for one's loved ones, well, that's not half so bad as being tempted on your own account.
No.
How much would I get from this scheme of yours?
I thought 20%.
Not worth it.
I'll be liberal. 25%.
Not a farthing under 50.
My dear doctor, if you persist in allowing your greed to come between
my
you and...
My greed? Mine? You cannot work this scheme without my help, because I am in a position to discredit you.
Dr. Haggett, it's done.
Tallant. You up here too, eh?
And I got here first, Rosen.
Oh, so it was you who... Well, I might have known it.
Are you two acquainted with each other?
Mr. Rosen will be the selling end of our firm, Dr. Haggett. We've just formed our limited company, as it were, Rosen. Are you coming in on the ground floor?
I'm not taking your sort of business today, thanks. I've come up here after the real thing, and I'm going to get it.
There it is. If you can pay the price for it. Portrait of Gwenny.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I know you're good, Tallant. But I never knew you were as good as this.
We'll take 4,000 for it.
What?
4,000? And not even framed.
Within a year, you'll get twice that for it.
If it was genuine, I might.
But it is genuine. On my word of honor as a church warden. Of course, I realize I'm not in the position to...
So forgive me if perhaps I doubt your word, Doctor.
Ah, come on now, Rosen. Admit you don't know.
Well, which is it? Genuine or not?
I think you should go in, Mr. Davenport.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Haggett.
Davenport? Then ask him.
Well, Dr. Haggett, have you found the missing treasures? A portrait of Gwenny. Allow me, Rosen.
Certainly.
And the man who painted this died miserably. Here is all womanhood. Its nobility, its tenderness, its strength. All this is beautiful as only... damn comparisons. The thing's beautiful.
That's all I need to hear. Dr. Haggett, I'll give you 1,400 guineas for it.
You're not buying it, Rosen.
I certainly am.
Well, what do you want with it?
To show it in my gallery. A one-man show, a one-picture show, for a whole month before I even try to sell it. I'm going to bring all Duveen's clientele down to the Fulham Road.
Are you going to force me to respect you at last?
Oh, I am, even if it ruins me. Come on now, Doctor, be reasonable and we'll talk business.
Daddy, don't do anything you'll be ashamed of.
Susan, I told you not to.
And Ada, why leave her listening at the door? Though how I can talk business with the women cluttering up the place,
Arthur. Would...
Well, Dr. Haggett.
I'd like to sell, but you see, I'm not in a position to...
1,700 guineas.
Well, I just told you, I'm in no position to sell this yet.
You'd better hurry up. Gwenny's train leaves at 5.
Well, you don't have to tell me, Hannah. Where is she?
In the kitchen.
1,700 is not enough.
2,000, then. 2,000 guineas, and that's the limit.
No.
Well, how much do you want?
Well, I'm not quite ready to sell yet, but if I do, you've got to make it worth my while. I would take 7,000 guineas.
But you're off your head.
6,500.
Well, even that, Mr. Davenport.
Yes, it's a little high.
6,000.
Don't slip now, Arthur, don't slip.
I've no intention of slipping. Well, Mr. Rosen, you've got to be sharp about it.
You're dealing with a united family, Rosen.
Not with me, Mr. Davenport. I won't have anything to do with this.
6,000 guineas, Mr. Rosen. Take it or leave it.
3,500.
6,000.
Cash in 3 days?
5,700.
Don't let go, Arthur. Don't let go.
4,300. Half of it down on the balance tomorrow.
4,700 on the same terms.
Done.
Good work, Rosen.
Let's see the money.
Good heavens, give me time.
Afternoon, all.
David, what are you doing here?
I've come for Gwenny's book.
Ah, the boy Marvel.
Boy Marvel? David?
Yes, I've been looking at his pictures, Mrs. Haggett. You certainly produce talented painters in this village.
Are his pictures good, too? Oh, do sit down, David. I think we've rather changed our minds about artists since this morning.
Oh, well, I'm not stopping if it's all the same to you, Mrs. Haggett. I'd best hear about Gwenny's box and Sharpish. Coming to see her off at the station, Susan?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Well, goodbye.
Save him till later.
Well, that's it, Doctor. Your signature and my check.
Thank you. Now, if you'll be good enough to take the portrait straight away whilst I leave you all for a moment in order to say goodbye to... Oh, Gwenny.
Sorry to break in on you, Dr. Haggett, and you're with company, but my train goes at 5 o'clock, and I have made up my mind.
I knew it was all right, Gwenny. I knew it was. And here, the £10 I promised you. Have a good journey.
If you would be so good as to hold the door open a moment, my dear.
What is that man doing there? Doing with my portrait?
By taking it to London, Gwenny, to exhibit it, where everybody will come and look at it. Could you let me have some brown paper and string?
What right have you to take it away?
I never paid more for a right in my life.
It belonged to me.
Yes, but I'm...
How's that?
I said it belonged to me.
Gwenny, your train, my dear. What do you want in here, anyway?
I come in to say goodbye and fetch my portrait.
But you just sold it to me.
Oh, I never did. I never did.
You got the money there in your hand, Gwenny.
Dr. Haggett, it can't be that you...
Can I take this money back? Go on, take it back. You tell me you was wanting my portrait for to remember me with. I say to you that I would think about giving it to you, and I have think, and I am not going to part with it, never, never. And now you are trying to sell it behind my face. I would be ashamed. Oh, as never was ashamed.
Gwenny!
The old-fashioned sly trick.
This is my house, Gwenny Thomas, and everything in it belongs to me, and you are my servant, paid with my wages.
This portrait does not belong to you.
If you'll all step into the hall and leave me to clear up matters with Gwenny, there'll be no more difficulty.
Oh, really? But Arthur...
Just 5 minutes, Hammer.
Damn it all,
now,
Doctor.
Now, don't upset yourself, Mr. Rosen. There's a little misunderstanding here, that's all.
Little misunderstanding? I just give you a chance.
After you, Mr. Rosen.
Oh, well, Gwenny, You're not very grateful after all we've done for you.
I cannot help that, Doctor. I will not part with my portrait.
Oh, and here was I just working up to a lovely surprise for you.
Yes, and I catch you at it. Underhand, sneaky and greedy. I always know that Mrs. Haggett and Ada was greedy, the both of them. But I never know that you was.
Gwenny, how can you say that about me? I was... only trying to make a little money for you. Oh, I don't mean that £10. That was only a joke. I was really going to give you £200. Think of it, Gwenny. £200.
You was going to get £200 selling my portrait?
Ah, that surprises you. People in your position, Gwenny, shouldn't own things that are worth so much if they don't realize their value.
Perhaps you're right. I do not know. But my portrait is all I got in the world. The boy painted it. Well, I am not ashamed to say it now. It is so long ago. Then I love him. And I still love him. And he died just after he finished painting it, so it was the last thing that he ever paint. That is why it mean that much to me. It means all the happiness that I ever had. Now I think I'd better go and catch my train.
All right, Gwenny. I'll be honest with you. They want to pay me 4,700 guineas for your portrait.
4,000?
Now. Divide with me, Gwenny. You take half and give me half.
Well, if it weren't for me, you wouldn't be having any of it.
No, I will not.
Take 3,500.
Let loose my dress.
Greed, Gwenny, greed.
It is not greed. I would not take a £1,000,000. You ought to be ashamed, Dr. Haggett. Proper ashamed.
Oh, I am.
You know, Doctor, he was that poor, was Chris. He never had no good coat, nor nothing warm, only that one sweater that I knit him. He never had no warm room for sleeping in. If he could have had the money to go to that warm foreign place, he need not have died. In the winter, I used to pray for the frost to go quick for Chris's sake. But how is it that a man can die so poor when he paint pictures that is worth so much?
Because, my dear, nobody wanted his pictures when he was alive.
But I always like them. That is why I keep so many. But not just because he paint them.
You kept so many?
Yes, I kept them.
But how?
Oh, Mrs. Haggett put them on the bonfire ready for to burn, and I take them off.
Gwenny, where are they now?
In my box. I roll them up as they are canvas, so they're all right.
How many are there?
There is 17.
17? Did you say 17?
That is right, Doctor.
Hannah! Ada! Rosen!
Good heavens, Arthur, what's the matter?
There you all are. Hannah, never mind the portrait. The other pictures have been found.
Daddy!
Gwenny rescued them from the bonfire. She's got them in that box of hers. 17 of them.
17, you Christopher Beans.
It's ours! It's ours!
Oh, well, David, don't just stand there. Put the box down again and open it, my boy. Open it.
But I've just this moment tied all this rope around it,
Doctor. Then untie the rope again. Cut it. You've got a knife, haven't you?
Oh, Dr. Haggett, 4:30 it is. You will make me lose my train.
Fancy talking about trains at a time like this.
Ah, that's done it. It'll not take me long a minute to get fastened up again, Gwenny.
Now, Gwenny, where are they?
Better let me do it, Dr. Haggett. I do not like people rummaging and messing in my box. Here they are.
Now I'll talk business with you, Mr. Rosen.
Well, Dr. Haggett, I wasn't prepared for a deal like this.
Careful now. Don't harm them.
What do you think this one's worth for a start?
Well, now, if I might hold it up to the light.
Tie the rope round my box again, like you said, David. There is a nice boy.
Let me help you, David. We must be going.
Well, is it worth 2,000?
Oh, easily, I should say.
Do you hear that, Hannah? Easily 2,000.
What do you think, Mr. Davenport?
Oh, yes, Rosen, I would say they belong to him.
Oh,
well, there you are, you see. Are you satisfied?
Of course. But as I say, I've never tackled anything as big as this before. A corner in Christopher Beans, by Jove.
Then let's discuss details in the dining room, Mr. Rosen. We'll be far more comfortable in there.
Well, good afternoon, all. I will be going now.
£40,000 worth in this little... Well, Gwenny, I'm sure those two young people are doing the right thing.
I think they are, Mr. Davenport.
Gwenny, before you go, may I say just one word about your portrait?
No.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not trying to take it away from you, believe me.
Oh.
But, Gwenny, a work of art like this is a responsibility. It's yours, but it's only yours in trust for the future. Take it with you now to Manchester, by all means, but When you get there, don't keep it where it won't be safe. Lend it to the city art gallery. You could go there and see it every day, you know.
Mr. Davenport, could you spare a moment?
Yes, we could do with your expert advice.
Yes, of course, Doctor. Well, would you do that, Gwenny?
I would like to think about it, Mr. Davenport.
Please do, Gwenny. I know it is more than a work of art to you. I know the bond that must have existed between you and Christopher Bean.
Bond, indeed. Carryings on, if you can call that a bond.
Mr. Davenport, he was the only man that ever asked me to marry him.
What?
You didn't marry him, though, Gwenny?
He was so ill that I could not say no to nothing that he asked me for.
Then you're his widow, Gwenny.
I know that I am.
And all these pictures, they belong to you.
Mother, I'm going to faint.
Oh, be quiet, Hannah. Well, she's got to prove it. She's got to prove it.
Certainly I can prove it. I got my marriage lines out there in my trunk. Do you want to see? And my wedding ring. On this ribbon what I wear on my neck. Well, look, you. I was wanting people to have a good idea of me, like. But I do not care who knows it now that I am Mrs. Christopher Bean. That is who I am. Well, just the same as Mrs. Haggett is Mrs. Haggett. And I never had no carryings on. Oh, thank you, Mr. Davenport. My portrait.
And your paintings, my dear. Your paintings.
Hurry up, Gwenny. Goodbye, Mummy. Goodbye, Daddy. We'll see her off.
Goodbye, indeed.
Really, Arthur? Anybody would think Susan is leaving this house for good.
In Emlyn Williams' version of The Late Christopher Bean, the cast was as follows. Gwenny, Meg Wynne Owen. Dr. Haggett, Lockwood West. Mrs. Haggett, Valerie Scarden. Susan, Paddy Stevenson. Ada, Mara Stoll. David Pickford, Strawn Roger. Talent, John Lindstrom. Rosen, Jeffrey Banks. And Mr. Maxwell Davenport, David Marlowe. The play was freely adapted and produced for radio by Trevor Hill.